Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines. Great to be with you. There are storms on the way, they're saying, in Central Texas, so take cover if you have to, or whatever you've got to do to protect your family, your safety, and all that good stuff. But we'll see how these April showers work out. Speaking of showers, we've got a flood of attention coming down when it comes to the issues of religious liberty. A lot to talk about today. You know, that issue, religious freedom, the impact that it has on people of faith, the impact that the government is trying to have to restrict your religious freedom rights, all of this is in play. It's unfolding all across the country. Texas is taking center stage again because we have lawmakers from the state of Texas that are standing up. They're banding together with other people. And a lot of this is coming out of other parts of the country, though. North Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, all kinds of states are standing up and saying, look, we have got to have something in law that makes clear what the religious liberty protections are, because people that disagree with them, mainly at the local level, are trying to use local government power to try to restrict people's religious freedom rights and try to attack them. And so you probably heard some discussion about this. Even the presidential candidates are starting to talk about this. And so a lot to cover. And one of the reasons why we talk about this, if you're new to the show, the Texas Values Report is about covering the issues of faith, family, and freedom across the state of Texas. And it's no surprise, if it's something that's going on in Texas, it's usually going to have an impact on the rest of the country. And vice versa, if there's something going on that goes against the values that Texans care about, you can almost be guaranteed that leaders in Texas are going to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not the direction the country needs to be going. And so that's what's going on today. And so let's jump right in. We've got a great guest with us this afternoon. State Representative Scott Sanford, who you know has been on the show before, is the author of the Pastor Protection Law, a very important piece of religious liberty law that was passed in 2015 with bipartisan support that makes it clear that the government cannot punish you as a church, as an employee of a church, as a religious organization, as a ministry, because of your beliefs on marriage, and the government cannot force you to engage in certain actions, nor can your tax-exempt status or any type of government contracts you may be involved in. None of that can be jeopardized by the government or held against you because of your beliefs on marriage if you want to live those out. And so Representative Sanford is here with us this morning because he's been a part, really not a part, it was his idea to put together a letter to get legislators to band together across the country to message back, to respond to the attacks in other parts of the country on religious freedom. So thank you, Representative Sanford, for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan. It's a privilege to be with you.
Well, let's get right to your letter. It's getting a lot of attention this week. Not a surprise, okay? The folks that disagree with religious freedom, that attack religious freedom, they've had their say, right? The Bruce Springsteens of the world, some of these other liberal organizations, the ACLU has filed a lawsuit against a law in North Carolina, which arguably the text of the North Carolina law isn't about religious freedom, even though you could make arguments of why people would support it for those reasons. It's about ensuring safety and privacy in bathrooms so men cannot go into women's bathrooms as they were going to allow them in the city of Charlotte. That's one of the issues. The other issue is Georgia. Georgia, the state of Georgia, had a law very similar to the one that you had here in the state of Texas, the Pastor Protection Law. Theirs got into issues that were quasi-private business, if you will, but really just about faith-based entities that were private themselves, that were religious-based. And so the governor of Georgia vetoed that law. But part of the reason for this was because the Big 12 commissioner, and that's the conference that deals with Texas, that deals with universities here in the state of Texas, Baylor, also, of course, TCU, Texas Tech, a number of universities. The Big 12 commissioner made some comments because of some things that were going on, I believe, in Missouri that were negative towards religious freedom. The NFL's made some comments like that. So has the NCAA and other companies. Disney, as a matter of fact. So you said, you know what? We need to respond to this, and that's exactly what you did with this letter. Tell us a little bit more about it and the tremendous amount of support you're getting from other state legislators.
Well, the issue became public because Bob Bowlesby with the Big 12 and Roger Goodell with the NFL and the Disney CEO and Marvel CEO and the others that you've mentioned, they decided to go public with their objection to some religious liberty legislation. And I began to think this through that perhaps they haven't been informed accurately. Perhaps they've been a little bit misguided because their logic doesn't hold. They become they're advocating for discrimination against those who would make some religious liberty choices. It's a little bit ironic. But I began to think that if we continue to go down this road that we're going down, that people of faith, and I mean Christians, Muslims, Jews, anyone who holds to some certain tenets, will be forced under government coercion to act not in accordance to their faith or face penalties under law. And I began to ask myself, do rational people in America, maybe not even religious people, really want to live in that kind of society? And do these CEOs understand that that's what they're promoting? Where people of faith will have to violate their faith or face the penalty of law in some areas that really historically have been enjoyed and in most part still are enjoyed today, but we're seeing evidences of those being whittled away. Do they really want to live in that type of America where you're going to put people of faith in a really difficult circumstance, if not into court or in under penalty of law, just acting in accordance with their faith? So we said, let's band together. I'd gotten to know some people around the country, legislators around the country, and of course in Texas we have a strong delegation for religious liberties. So let's get together. Let's try to inform these CEOs about the truth of the matter, but we also decided that since they went public with their statements, we also had to respond in an open public arena.
Well, I want to stop you right there. That is if you don't mind, I apologize, but you're making a very good point that is so key to this discussion. Their side decided to go public, so we decided to go public. And amen, brother, okay? Because I'm so grateful for your leadership, because if you only have one side being very public, if you will, it gives the impression that the argument is one-sided and the debate is one-sided and that there's no real response. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses from Proverbs 18:17 that says, "He who presents his case first seems right, until someone steps forward to challenge him." Now look, our organization and other people have stepped forward to respond to these attacks on religious freedom, but I don't have quite the megaphone, even though my voice may be louder than state legislators do like yourself. And when you have states like North Carolina or Mississippi that are really almost left to defend themselves, and they're getting attacked by the governor of New York, they're getting attacked essentially, Georgia was, by the NFL commissioner, by the Big 12 commissioner, all these different folks, in some ways, we're attacking religious freedom. There's got to be a response, and it has to be people that are at a similar level. I want to see more businesses come forward. You have started this discussion by banding together with over 100 legislators, and it's so valuable. It's so important. And look, we're not afraid of a healthy debate. We welcome more conversation about this issue, but I think a lot of times the strategy by the folks that oppose religious freedom is to come out so loud and so distorting, and like you said, maybe mislead people like the Big 12 commissioner and others to where they're thinking, oh, this issue must be about whatever so-and-so is saying because we're hearing the most or we're hearing them the loudest, that they don't get the real information. And then the argument is over, they veto a law, or everyone moves on to the next story, and you never get below the surface. I want to read from your letter that I thought was fantastic. I wish I could take credit for writing it. I didn't have anything to do with it. You know, I mean, truth be told, this was a great idea you had. You certainly brought it to us and asked us to share it with other people, but you did a great job putting together the language. And I know you and I have spent a lot of time together, and so I appreciate how thoughtful you were. Here's what the letter says. Please ask yourselves this question. Do we really want to live in a society where our government may, under penalty of law, force its citizens to engage in the promotion or solemnization of an act that they find contrary to their conscience and their religious beliefs? Your efforts are indeed forging a path that contradicts and undermines the principles and concepts that our founding fathers incorporated as the building blocks of this constitutional republic. And let me take it back one paragraph before that, because this is part of the arguments being made, is that religious freedom laws are somehow going to have a negative impact on the economy. I mean, that's ridiculous. And Governor Abbott has even said that's absurd. But here's what your letter says. Lastly, if you, talking about the Big 12 commissioner, Disney, other corporations, if you were to remove your events and other economic activities from every state that already has significant religious liberty legislation or state court decisions with the same effect, you will find yourselves operating in an increasingly shrinking pool of states. As of now, 13 states have some form of a religious liberty law that's current, and others are in the process of adoption. That is very key, because I think a lot of people don't realize a lot of these other states are passing laws that are similar to laws that other states have, or they're simply updating them based upon what the courts have told us how this issue works. In addition to the fact, though, there has been a major shift by one of the key players. The ACLU has withdrawn their support from the law that almost all of these laws are based on in some way, and it's called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. When Hobby Lobby won their religious liberty court case at the Supreme Court, so the federal government could not force them to do things that went against their conscience based on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, ACLU came out in almost days and said, you know what, we no longer support that law. They helped get that law passed 20 years ago, and now the ACLU is saying we're no longer support the most well-established religious liberty law in current history. That is a significant shift, and now they not only support it, they're going after states that want to continue to implement it or something like it. So I think you're on to something very important by reminding people the history, and it's a current history, if you will, of the type of legislation that exists.
It's interesting that the ACLU is now opposing Ted Kennedy's legislation.
Exactly.
And his efforts. And Jonathan, I don't think you meant to say this, but I think you said that there were 13 states that contained these laws.
32. I'm sorry if I misspoke.
32.
In your letter.
So that is very significant and growing, and there is a growing number of states with significant religious liberty legislation. And the only reason they find it necessary to go beyond the First Amendment or the Federal Religious Freedom Act is because the court decisions and city ordinances that begin to move in a contrary way to religious freedom. So then it's necessary to step up from a legislative standpoint.
And let me jump in. I don't think you're saying going beyond the First Amendment as in that the First Amendment shouldn't already cover this. You're saying
we
have to go beyond the fact that the First Amendment apparently has not been enough to stop the government from interpreting it in a way that actually goes against people's religious freedom rights. That's right. That's where we are now, is that you'll have people say, oh, well, the First Amendment covers that. Really, though, so why is the Catholic Church hauled into court for making a decision about employment based on their religious beliefs up in the Northeast? Why did they lose a court case when they simply made a decision about the issue of marriage in their hiring process? That is a private Catholic school. What does the government have to do with their decisions? You would have thought, oh, the First Amendment covers that. You can't sue a church-based school for their beliefs on marriage. I mean, that's surely the First Amendment covers that. Well, it didn't. It wasn't enough. You had a state court judge, I think, or maybe it was a federal court judge. I believe it was a state court judge that ruled against the Catholic, the church-based school up in the Northeast. So you're right. And so, look, and legislation is not going to solve all these problems. That, you know, we know that from experience, but they will solve a lot of these problems. I mean, I firmly believe, and obviously that's why you're in elective office, because we know it can make a difference. And we know it sends a message when we say, here are the limitations of government. The government cannot go this far. The government cannot subpoena the sermon of a pastor. Yet we had a government official do that in the city of Houston. Who would have thought that they would do that? But they did, because we're living in different times where people want to redefine what religious freedom is. And I think your letter says, wait a minute, let me remind you how strongly based our religious freedom rights are. So let's talk about the response you've gotten. You got over 100 legislators from about a dozen different states, but this effort has just begun. I think there's certainly the belief and intention that you're going to get more legislators from across the state on this letter. Is that right?
This is the first attempt to ask legislators from around the country to coalesce around an issue, particularly one of religious liberties. So we're just in the infancy of legislators beginning to work together from different states. So I expect it to continue to grow. People are people being legislators are continuing to sign onto this letter. Many are just learning about it. So I think we're just in the beginning stages of a network of folks who are committed to First Amendment rights.
Well, and let me, before we run out of time here, let me mention one other point, because this is very key. You know, we'll talk about these issues of religious freedom, and the other side wants to say, no, this is about discrimination. Look, the religious freedom is based in the First Amendment. To then create new classes of protection that are not even recognized by a congressional act at the federal level or in states like Texas and the state level, to say they can, these new ideas that are oftentimes not even objective, can somehow trump religious freedom in the First Amendment, it is really out of control. One of your paragraphs says, now, most non-discrimination acts or ordinances, and you have it in quotes to kind of signify the concern on those issues, provide special protection based on sexual identity and orientation and undermine the original definition of religious freedom. The pressure to leave faith at the door of the public square is continually increasing for religious schools, nonprofits, public employees, private employees, small business owners, and entities interacting with the government via contracts, grants, and other means, obtaining tax accommodations, and so on. And so you talk about the need for protection, and you conclude the letter with saying that you and your other state legislators encourage you to reconsider this being the corporation's all these recent public threats. I mean, this is not just about businesses. Obviously, this is about religious-based schools and entities, and this is about charitable organizations that provide a meaningful service to society, that are meeting needs that the government cannot meet. Foster care and adoption agencies, 25% of them make up that industry, if you will, in the state of Texas. Why? Because the state doesn't have enough resources to provide homes and help for these kids. So Christian entities are in the gap. If you cut them off, you're hurting the children. That's who you're attacking. And so I'm encouraged by your confidence in for you getting involved in this and your leadership. I think we are going to have more states. And just so people know, I see Virginia on here. I see Oklahoma, Tennessee, Maine, Colorado. Of course, quite a few from Texas, Iowa, Florida. Let me direct people to our website. And we may have to set up a website for this letter and working in concert with or working to support Representative Sanford's effort on this issue. But if you go to txvalues.org or if you call our office, we can help you get connected to where if you know someone that's a state legislator that wants to sign on to this letter, let us know. Because I think you're right. This is just beginning, and we want to grow this support throughout the country because obviously these issues aren't going away. I mean, they're here to stay, and they're going to get more attention. And unless we have a response, unless we band together, we're going to lose our ability to have an impact on the issue.
I agree. This is moving really quickly. My wife and I were talking that 4 years ago when we first ran for office, we never dreamed that this would be the issue that we would have to be working on. We thought it would be more of let's be sure and keep taxes low and the budget balanced and never dreamed. And so things have moved really quickly. And we're going to have to be able to respond really quickly.
Well, you've done that, and I'm glad for what you're doing. And I think it's also meaningful that it's not as if you're a talking voice and, you know, you've come out with an opinion. You did the hard work to pass a piece of legislation that was very timely and important with the pastor protection law. Now we're seeing Louisiana is trying to pass a law similar to the one you passed. Georgia had a version of your law that got passed, but then the governor of Georgia caved with very little pressure. and vetoed that law, but we're seeing Florida has talked about doing something. I'm sorry, they did. Rick Scott has signed this legislation in the state of Florida. We're seeing, and this is because even pastors, even churches and religious employees are concerned about how the government is being pushed to be used to punish them for their beliefs on these issues, on marriage and so on. I had a little quote about Disney where we said, look, Disney asked and pushed for that pastor protection law to be vetoed in Georgia. And I said, look, well, what is going to happen in Disney? What if a priest is at Disney World taking a picture with Mickey Mouse? Is he going to have to remove his white collar? I mean, are they going to start creating a hostile environment in their environments wherever their people work or at their businesses? And so you have to wonder where the end point is, and I'm not sure we know. And I think that's where there's a lot of concern. We are going to have you back again, Representative Sander, to talk about these issues because I know that there's going to be more developments. I know our legislative session starts in January, but obviously bills start getting filed in November. We're right around the corner. And I just want to make a mention, if you're in the Central Texas area, a very timely movie on April 25th, Monday, we're doing a private screening here in the Austin area of God's Not Dead at 7 p.m. We are covering the cost for the event, but we're going to have special guests there. Franklin Graham is going to be in Austin the day after that. And so we would love to have you there, Representative Sanford, not to put you on the spot. But that movie talks about these issues. And so all of this is very timely. And thank you, Representative Sanford, for being our guest today on the Texas Values Report.
Oh, thank you for having me. And you do a great job, Jonathan, as does your organization and your listeners. And just ask their participation in this effort.
Wonderful. Okay, let me give you all the website again, txvalues.org. If you want to hear more about how the legislator in your area can sign on to this letter, or if you know people in other parts of the state or parts of the country, and you think state legislators from those areas need to sign on this letter, go to txvalues.org. You can call us 512-478-2220, 512-478-2220. And we're going to have the letter on our website. I forgot to mention that, from Representative Sanford and over 100 different legislators. I need to get my assistant, if you will. I shouldn't call him that, but our station help here, who helps put this program together, give me a signal to let Representative Sanford talk a little bit more, because I probably did a little bit more of the talking. I'll work on that. But the letter speaks for itself if you haven't seen it. Go to our website, txvalues.org, and check out the letter. I'm obviously very energetic and excited about this issue because it gives me a lot of confidence and encouragement myself when I see such a bold move. When I see Representative Sanford coming to us saying, I want to do this. And I don't want to act like that's a surprise. I just want you to know that in the environment we're in, it's become very hostile for elected officials, and strikingly, I mean, about religious liberty issues. But this is the climate we're in, where the media and the people that oppose this have become very hostile. They've become very aggressive. So a lot of legislators have gotten a little nervous about speaking out on these issues. You know, they've been called names, they've been called haters, they've been called bigots, all kinds of stuff, for really just trying to make it clear specifically what the First Amendment protects. And so I say that because the fact that Representative Sanford continues to be so involved in these issues and come up with ideas of way to do something, I'm very encouraged. And I'm glad that we're getting a lot of help on these issues and support, because I know that more people care about these issues and they want to see that they are led in a direction to do something when other people stand up, particularly people that have influence and power, if you will, and people care about what they think, and in particular state legislators. A lot of people are signed on this letter from Texas, but there's some that aren't. So there's still room to do that. And I know they wanted to get the letter out there, so a lot of people may haven't seen this. So don't think anything if you think, oh, my legislator's not on there. You know, he or she doesn't care about religious freedom. No, they may not have just had a chance to see the letter. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt, but let's get them on there and get them in support and continue to broaden and strengthen the voice on this issue. You heard me mention with Representative Sanford, great event coming up Monday, April 25th. We're going to have a private screening of God's Not Dead 2. If you haven't seen God's Not Dead 2, the movie, It's still in theaters, but don't go see it. Wait and come to our screening. It is free. Okay, now we're going to pay for the cost of showing the movie. We will ask for support at the end of it if you want to give a donation. We're a tax-deductible organization. We'd ask you to do that, but we don't want to complicate it with tickets and people having to pay. We just want you to come see it and spend some time with us. April 25th at 7 p.m. Go to our website to find out how you can register for tickets. We only have 40 tickets. Okay, it's a very small amount, if you will, and so it's going to be those are going to be hot tickets. We're going to run out, I know, and we may end up having a very special guest at that screening. I don't have any more details. That's all I'll say at this point, but we'll let you know if that comes up. But if you haven't seen God's Not Dead 2, or you want to see it again and bring some friends, great time to do it. We'll talk about religious liberty at the end of the movie. The movie talks about sermons being subpoenaed by pastors. Really some great content in this movie. But go to txvalues.org. Find out more about the work we're doing there. Find out all about the work and the impact we're making in the state of Texas on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And we'll see you next week.